Thank you. You may be seated, and if you have your Bibles with you this evening, you can turn with me to Isaiah chapter 1, please. And let's just pray together before we look into the Word. Thank you again, dear God, that you've given us your Word in our language. Father, that we can read here, and as believers, we can understand through the illumination of God, the Holy Spirit. Thank you, dear Lord, that your Word is true. That it's a mirror, dear God, that we can see our own reflection and make the adjustments that are necessary in our lives, that we would shine forth as lights and represent the Lord Jesus Christ well. Thank you, Lord, that your Word is a laver that cleanses. And Lord, your Word is a light that would shine and to help us to see and to understand. I pray, dear God, that as we look at these things, that you'd encourage us, you'd speak to our hearts, and that we would recognize our position in Christ and be thankful for who we are tonight in his name. Amen. Well, before we read our text, just a few introductory comments. I've entitled this message, Sin Sickness Has Its Own Schedule. Did you ever think about that? Well, it was in the paper last week and heard a lot of talk about this Jeffrey Joseph, accused the murderer in Minto anyway. And it gets interesting because it seems like, because of his sickness, that you can get away with murder if you're sick. And as I thought about that, I thought, you know, is he sick because of what he did? And I've had people tell me, not just about that, a number of heinous crimes will take place and somebody will say, oh, that person is sick. Whatever happened to sinful? There will be something take place in the lives of people that we know, something that would be beyond anything that we feel that we have the capability of doing, and we'll say, oh, that person is sick. Well, there are certain sins that I've looked at and I've thought about, and I've had people come to me and they'll name a sin and they'll say, that individual is sick. Maybe they're sick, maybe they're sinful. And I started to think about this and examine the scripture a little bit, because the Bible is really quite clear on most things, and those of you who have been here more than a few times would know that I don't believe in gray areas. The Bible is black and white. It's there. If there's something in Scripture that you don't understand, it isn't that the Bible isn't clear. You're not clear. It's written so that we're for us to understand. And that's one thing that has troubled me in the church in this age, at least. Is people have the idea, oh well, this is a difficult area. It's a controversial area. Well, I don't know if I'm stubborn enough, or whatever the word would be, there had not to be controversial areas within the church. The Bible doesn't say one thing for this group and something else for another group. It says one thing, and as believers, we have the spiritual capacity to know what it says if our relationship with the Lord is what it ought to be. One of the reasons I have discovered through my ministry that people don't understand portions of Scripture is the real truth is they don't read it. Isn't it funny? I don't understand this book. And you will ask, have you read it? Yes. No, I mean, have you read the whole thing? And I've had people debate me before, and when I've asked them, have you read the whole Bible? They will say, no, but I've read the part that you're talking about, and I don't agree with you. So they don't know how it relates contextually with the whole Scripture and all this. And this idea of sin, do you know there was no such thing as sickness before the fall of man? So we can say that sickness is a part of the curse, therefore all sickness in one sense has to do with sin, right? But what about the idea of I might get sick tomorrow or I might get sick next week because of sin? Is that possible for sin to make us sick? Sure it is, and we could talk about different things. You know, how you would look at a life. Preachers have a horrible lifestyle. It's hard on the person. It causes heart trouble. Why? Because you eat too much, you sleep too little, there's all kinds of stress if you're a stressy type person. And you don't have time to get the proper exercise and all that. There's some occupational hazards to this job. And I was thinking about a number of things. People know, and you know, one of the things, if you're going to get married, I always tell people, you know, you don't smoke or drink or chew or hang around with girls that do and you're safe. But the idea is just this: there are certain things that we could do that could cause us to get sick. Sin can cause sickness. All sickness is because we're sinners. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, before we break bread, and we're going to break bread here in a few minutes, this is preparatory to prepare our hearts for breaking bread together, talks about for this cause, what cause? Because men haven't examined themselves. Many are sickly among you, and many sleep. In fact, what it boils down to is just this: there would be those who died prematurely from sickness caused by their own sin. So we have to be careful. And then I got thinking about this idea of sickness, and sickness that's caused by sin. The reason I entitled this message, what do they call it? Sin sickness has its own schedule. It's just like any other kind of sickness. Wasn't very happy. I had a wedding last Friday. I woke up violently sick. I had to stand in front of a lot of people and perform a wedding, and I was really sick. I didn't want to be. Sickness didn't call me up and say, "Hello, Tony, how are you?" "I'm fine." "Well, I'm going to make you, you're going to be sick. Is today a good day?" I would have said, "No." Come in about 75 years, right? Those of you who have had gallbladder attacks, heart attacks, abscess teeth, babies, they come on schedule. Usually. Not always. But when you stop and think about it, just all of a sudden, something will happen to you. And it's interesting because we've been looking at the biblical principle of sowing and reaping. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. But what's in the fine print is you will reap it at the time that you don't want it. Whenever it's absolutely worse for you, that seems to be when it comes along. I didn't want to wear a diaper to a wedding. There's, you know, there's some things you could get away with, but there's other things have an odor that would let it out. It just was a horrible moment, a horrible evening. And you know what? I discovered I have a friend. I married a young lady who from Newfoundland. I was talking to her dad. I wanted to talk to her dad the next day. He was so sick he couldn't come to the phone. So he came across the boat through the ice. Took them about 12 hours to cross the Gulf. He was exhausted. Came here long enough to what? Get sick. Sickness comes whenever it feels like. Sin sickness comes whenever it feels like. And I became interested in a few verses of Scripture. I'm going to start to read here in Isaiah chapter 1. In verse 1 it says, "The vision of Isaiah the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. A sinful nation, people laden with iniquity, the seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, that have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel into anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart is faint." And I was just thinking about this idea when it says the whole head is sick. Do you know that sin can cause you, and this is biblical, to become sick in the head? Your thinking can become so perverted that you can be horribly sinful. You can be doing the things that are destroying your life, the things that are hurting you, and your head has become so sick that you don't realize it's you. And I thought, you know, that sounds funny, and my mind went to another verse. We won't turn there tonight for time's sake. This idea of, there are a couple of words in the Greek from which we get the word fear. One carries with it a good fear, and it's a good fear because we need to have a reverential trust and respect for God. It seems like in the preaching and teaching of our day, the fear of God has all but escaped us. It's the idea that somehow people believe that God loves us so much that you can do whatever you want, wherever you want, whenever you want. All you have to do is ask Jesus in your heart, and that you're going to go to heaven. And there's no respect, there's no reverence for God, there's no respect, there's no reverence for the church. There's no respect, there's no reverence for each other. It's just, there's some kind of diabolical perversion that comes from the devil, the liar, that has caused us, or can cause us, to be sick in our thinking. The other word, there is the word in the Greek that I wanted to think about tonight, is the word phobos, from which we get the word phobia. We can become afraid. We can become paranoid to the extent that we're dysfunctional over something that really can't hurt us. And sin can bring us to a place where our thinking isn't what it ought to be. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love," and it says, "and of a sound mind." And if we have an unnatural fear of whatever it is, or whatever, you know, we need to have a sound mind in order to function right as believers. And what can happen sometimes because of sin, and it says here in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 5, that the whole head is sick. Now I tell you, when it comes to this idea of examining ourselves and examining our lives, we have to be very, very careful, because what happens when our head starts to get sick, in order for something to enter into my heart, it comes through my head. We're a trinity. We've got a body, a soul, and a spirit. My body is sense conscious, right? That's about all it does. It can feel, it can smell, it can taste, it can see. I have the sense of touch. And that's what my body does. But I have a soul, the seat of my intellect, emotion, and will, where I think, where I'm tempted, where I have victory. And the Bible tells us that as believers, we have a God consciousness, that we have a spirit that was dead. Psalm 119, verse 25 says, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word." The moment of my salvation, my spirit became alive, and God indwelled me. The long and the short of it is just this, that God the Holy Spirit ministers in my heart of hearts, in my soul. My soul controls my body. If because of sin, if there's some area of my life that is out of control and God can't minister in that way, then I start to function in a wrong way. And I become sick. And it says here, the whole head is sick. And I thought, what a horrible thing when you stop and think. And this, the sickness doesn't warn us. It's like any other, like a physical sickness that all of a sudden you just don't feel well. And something is wrong. And it's a sad thing when you stop and look at the situation in the church today. And I'm not talking about this church. I'm talking about Christendom. Because that which we're feeding into ourselves is causing us to become sick in the head. Our thinking isn't proper. Our thinking isn't right. In order for us to think properly as believers is we have to be thinking in terms, in spiritual terms, in according to what the Scripture says. If you want an appropriation text to look at later on, is just this, Romans chapter 8, verses 15 through 17. And isn't it interesting that God, the Holy Spirit, who indwells us, bears witness to our spirit? It's not a healthy thing, and you won't hear me very often standing in the pulpit or whatever and say, "God told me this," or "God told me that." But do you know, as a believer, that the indwelling Spirit of God tells us things from His Word and from each other? And from prayer, we glean things as we look into the Scriptures and so on. And we have to be careful, and that's why we examine ourselves and so on. Because if we start to get sick in our head, we have difficulty as believers to function properly, and we get a wrong view of sin. How many of you have spoken to somebody who is a believer who's involved in a sin, and they've come to the place where they'll say, oh, this isn't really sin. Do you know that I've talked with people before who have actually, and I've heard of this, or I've read about this a number of times, where a man would leave his wife, take someone else's, and tell a counselor that God led him to do that. And they believe that God led them. If people believe God leads them in sin. Why? Because we get sick in our thinking. In the days when this was written, when Isaiah wrote this, and why the prophet had come and challenged the nation of Israel, is because they had become so perverted in their thinking that they thought that which was wrong was right. That which was good was bad. That which was bad was good. And they become perverted in their thinking. And it also says here in verse 5, why should it be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. Then it says, and the whole heart is faint. What happens when you become faint-hearted? I was thinking of that classic passage that we look at all the time in relation to our hearts. It says, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with thine what? Whole heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. I've sat and I've looked at that portion of Scripture a number of times, and any time I have a difficulty, I can look at that and I can see where somehow I've come to the place, and I'm sure you've arrived at this conclusion before. You would look at the situation, whatever it might be. It might be dealing with sin in your own life. It might be a circumstance that's difficult for you. Maybe it's somebody else's sin that's hurting you. And rather than trust the Lord with your own heart, you trust the Lord with part of your heart, and you're lean unto your own understanding. I want to tell you the real truth of the matter is, if you take a look at understanding, there's a lot of things that would go on round about me that I cannot understand. My understanding is really quite limited. It's absolutely limited. And when you compare yourselves to an omniscient, holy, righteous, just, sovereign God, we're pretty limited in our thinking. When you stop and look and you think about even what took place on the cross, God manifest in the flesh, became man. He died for the sins of the entire world. There's not another religious leader. When you look at world religions, there wouldn't be another king, there wouldn't be another person, there wouldn't be another being that would be able to do that. Think about it. Mankind had rejected their God. We live in a day and age when people say there is no God and therefore there's no creator. The same God, the same creator that has that thought and said about him died for those very people who are against him today, tonight. And I want to tell you, I can't understand that. And when I stop and look at my own life, and I think that as insignificant as I am tonight to be able to stand here and open God's Word, what a privilege. Because the truth of the matter is, nobody has to tell me that I'm a sinner. I just have to look in the mirror and I have to look in God's Word. Failure after failure after failure after failure. You find out the victories later. And it's good when they come along. But the truth of the matter is, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and you don't lean to your own understanding. If you acknowledge him in all your ways, he'll direct your path. And I run into people all the time, oh, I don't know what God's will is. They don't like the answer. It's not lost. Quit looking for God's will. It isn't lost. It's in God's Word. And it's really quite simple. The Bible says that we're supposed to pray. The Bible says that we're supposed to read God's Word. The Bible says that we're supposed to witness. And the Bible says that we're supposed to repent and confess our sin. If you're doing all those things, you're doing God's will, and God's will is progressive. I'm going to turn just to another passage in relation to a sick heart Psalm 119. Don't worry, I'm not going to read it all. Psalm 119, verse 2, it says, Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, that seek him with the whole heart. How many people do you know tonight that seek God with their whole heart? We seek God with some of our heart some of the time. Can you imagine what would happen if every person in this room tonight, even as Daniel in chapter 1, verse 8, where it says, But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. But if everybody somehow was able to get rid of the head sickness that we've inherited and that we cause ourselves, and the heart sickness that we cause ourselves, and that if we were to seek God with our whole heart, but we did absolutely nothing purposely that would be wrong in God's sight. And I don't know about you, but I probably shouldn't say this. Sometimes I sin on purpose. Sometimes I sin by mistake. Have you ever done that? Have you ever known something wasn't really quite right to do, but I've got away with this a lot of times, so I'll just do it again. That's not seeking God with your whole heart. Verse 10 says this, With the whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Verse 11, Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. When we have God's word hidden in their heart, and in fact, I can remember a number of years ago praying for an individual, and a man phoned me. He says, You need to focus your prayers in this direction. Fellow was a pastor of a United Baptist Church, and I want to tell you, he understood God's word. He said, You need to pray for that man, that God's word that's hidden in his heart would reveal itself. Pretty simple. God's word have I hid in my heart. Why? So I won't sin. Someone asked George Mueller, the secret to his success. George Mueller was the man who prayed. He's known for his prayer life. And he said something like this. He didn't tell anyone when he had a need. He told the Lord and the Lord alone that he made an honest and genuine effort, a deliberate act of his will, not to do anything that he knew the Lord didn't want him to do. Why can't we do that? Because as we approach the end of the age of grace, most of us, if we were to be honest, would have to say that we're sick in our heads and we're sick in our hearts. And it has to do with the result of sin. And sin sickness comes without warning, has its own schedule. And right when you need to do whatever the most, fear hits us, paranoia hits us. Jealousy hits us, envy hits us, whatever it is that causes us to sin. And the real truth is we cause it ourselves. Sin is a horrible curse, you know. It's caused a lot of difficulty. Isaiah chapter 64, verse over there that I would like to read. Someone had put it this way, that sin in our lives becomes like leprosy. Verse 6, Isaiah 64, but we are all as an unclean thing. Do you know lepers used to live in leper colonies? And when a leper would go through the streets of the community, one of the things by the law that he had to do is if someone started to approach him, can you imagine doing this? He had to say unclean. And he would start calling himself unclean until the passerby went by. And if you heard somebody saying unclean, because leprosy was contagious, and the leper would have to stay away from people and pronounce himself unclean. Verse 6, Isaiah 64, it says, But we are all as an unclean thing. and our righteousness as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. What caused this? It's our sin. And I was thinking about this idea. Do you know one of the biggest problems, what leprosy really is? We look at it and we think of deformed folks, people with their fingers or whatever gone. The curse of leprosy, what happens is we lose the sense of feel, the sense of touch. And you injure yourself because you have no idea what you're doing. People with leprosy have worn their fingers. They've broken their fingers because they have no sense of feel. I don't want to lose my sense of feel. Leprosy. Spiritual leprosy takes your ability to feel away. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Somehow we have to ask the Lord to help us to keep our sense of feel. I want to feel when God speaks to me. I want to feel compassion when things are different than I think they ought to be. Sin of leprosy will destroy a person's body. Truth of the matter is, it can't really destroy the body of Christ. But what happens is, the leprous part is taken away, and taken away early. How about this? Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. It says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." Isn't it interesting that you didn't have the wherewithal or the strength to save yourself? Verse 7, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." The Lord Jesus Christ died for a world of sinners. They were still sinners. I was a sinner, lost in sin for 18 years, and didn't even realize it. And Christ had already died for me almost 2 millenniums ago. "Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies," Ephesians chapter 2, I don't like to think about the fact, do you know that you used to be an enemy of God? Satan was your father. In Adam, we have the diabolical devil as our father. And the Lord Jesus Christ died for the enemy, died for sinners. Verse 10, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Why? Because he's risen, and the Lord Jesus Christ is alive. Verse 11, "Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." Once a year, the high priest would go behind the veil into the Holy of Holies. It was a picture of what was to happen on the cross of Christ. He would go in there, and my understanding is that the pomegranates on the bottom of his garments would rattle. Because if the sacrifice wasn't pleasing to a holy God, and when he stood before the blood and sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat, if it wasn't satisfactory to a holy, just, sovereign God, the high priest would die. My understanding is that he would go in there with a rope tied to him in case he died, so they could pull him out, because no one but the high priest could go in. He could only go in once a year, and if you went in, you would die. And it speaks here of atonement. The atoning blood of Christ is what we're about to celebrate tonight as we break bread together. That the Lord Jesus Christ is our high priest. After the order of Melchizedek, the cities of refuge, remember, if someone accidentally killed someone, they could flee to a city of refuge and they were safe there as long as the high priest should live. We have an eternal high priest. Always lived, always going to. You stop and look at the scriptures and realize tonight that all of us would be able to say that we were head sick, we were heart sick. It was as if we had leprosy or palsy, no strength. But in due time, Christ died for us, paid the penalty for our sins. You think about it tonight, as we break bread together tonight, we have something to celebrate. There's a chorus that goes that he paid a debt he did not owe. Absolutely, completely, totally, holy, sinless. I owed a debt that I couldn't pay. On the cross of Calvary, Christ paid the penalty for my sin. We need to remain focused on the one who took care of the sin problem for us. Heavy requirement, read God's word, pray, witness. Keep short accounts with God. Let's pray. Thank you again, our Father, for your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, tonight for your word. Thank you that even though we were sin-shackled and sin-sick, sin-saturated, dear God, that we were slaves, that we can be set free through the power of the blood of Christ. And we just thank you for what you've done for us. Dear God, what you are doing, and we anticipate a wonderful eternity with you. Amen.